Hello, hello, hello. This is day two of the European Chairs Assembly booze. And
Certainly is.
today we have our first guest star. And she is
Sadanandi.
Sadanandi, who is
Chair at Torreloca,
which is
Women's Retreat Centre in UK.
yes, in Wales, and it's a very beautiful place. And Sadanandi has done an amazing job over the years transforming it into one of the leading retreat centres in the UK. Consistently wins prizes. In fact,
That's true.
it does consistently win prizes. And she's here. We're out again under the beautiful moon, which we can just see through the trees. And we're in a kind of wonderland of trees. Maybe we'll put up some pictures of trees later for you. In fact, you can see them on Instagram if you follow Buddhist Centre on Instagram. Centre spelt like American centre. Anyway, we're here to do a boo about day two of the ECA, the European Chairs Assembly. And you may remember from yesterday that we're all gathered together, all these different people from a whole range of projects all over Europe, and all here to support each other and talk about how the work they do sets up the conditions for practice in our broad Tree Ratna community. And as yesterday, we also have the Venerable Loka Bandhu. And we're all sitting on a swing together in the garden, which is very pleasant.
Slightly.
It is very pleasant, slightly like being at sea, but there you go.
Yes, Loka Bandhu is often at sea, which is a...
Who's driving this chair?
So today, to get to the point, today was all about ritual. We had a day exploring ritual, and I think Sadanandi's going to tell us a little bit about the day, and also about ritual in general. Ritual is an important part of Buddhist practice.
Well, it's not just an important part of practice, it's an important part of our human life. To be a human being means you're going to have rituals. And you're just trying to bring more meaning to your life and I suppose to sort of draw out more awareness and connection with others through ritual.
You can say more, that's fine. Go on. This is all impromptu. Come on.
Well, we had Ratna Devi there, who's fab. She's somebody who's done a PhD in ritual itself, written a whole thesis on it, and explored it in theory and also in practice. And she's an artist who draws all those different threads together, which has been great.
And presumably the kind of rituals that you do are important.
And one thing we were doing today was looking at our rituals in Tri Ratna, and just raising the question, how well do they work? Could they work better? Do we want to change them? How on earth would we go about changing them? Because so many of them are collective, and finding a consensus around ritual would seem quite impossible, just drawing on the responses from the chairs today. Some people love our rituals, some people really don't like them, some people want to change them, some people don't want to change them. So it raised all kinds of questions. It just became really clear there's all these different contrary tensions or pulls or kind of factors you've got to consider all at once if you want to approach the question of collective ritual, which is what we were talking about.
And that's presumably important because it's such a key part of human life. So everybody feels very invested in the rituals. And I suppose as a spiritual community, we do need some sort of coherence around it, don't we? We can't have...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, everybody can do what they like, of course, and frequently do. But it would be very useful to have a recognisable set of rituals that everyone, wherever they are in the world, does as part of the Tri Ratna Buddhist community.
Well, absolutely. When I was saying in the group actually at Torreloca, especially if we've got people from overseas on the retreats, we tend to do the Sevenfold Puja or pujas that we know that they're going to know very well, so that they know that they're part of a whole community. They don't just step into a retreat centre, find they're doing something completely different from them.
That's right.
But then nothing in the world stands still for very long. Tri Ratna changes. There's quite a recent emphasis in Tri Ratna on the Buddha, reimagining the Buddha, coming back to the Buddha Shakyamuni. And then that raises the question, should our rituals, collective rituals, our pujas, be changing to reflect that fresh emphasis? The Sevenfold Puja that we've done for 40 years now, a long time, comes from quite a different time period in Buddhism. You know, hundreds of years later, much more Mahayana, much more the Bodhisattva. Shakyamuni is hardly mentioned in the Sevenfold Puja, and is that a problem? That's one of the questions we were exploring today.
Very interesting. I was just reflecting there about internationality and ritual. I remember when I was being ordained, one of the best things was hearing people recite the Heart Sutra in Gaelic and French and German and all sorts of languages. And I know that happened on the international retreat. People did the puja in different languages. But I suppose it'd be a very big thing, wouldn't it, if we decided to really start again. Quite exciting in a way, with our ritual and our kind of structured liturgy, if that's not too awful a term to use.
Well, it's good to have a liturgy. And it's great to have traditions.
Yes.
And we're talking about, you know, like Sevenfold Puja, things that you do in terms of chanting and worship. But also today it made me think what are the rituals that we do in a chairman's event. Like, for instance, yesterday Ratnaghosha left the chairman's event because he's not going to be attending anymore. And we rejoiced in his merits, and it's made me think, well...
Oh, we had a ritual cream tea.
And we had a ritual cream tea, but that's is there right. more of a need of another tradition, another aspect of the tradition, to actually allow... Well, in a way, a chairman's event's like a mandala, isn't it? Like every centre, community or whatever, the chairman's event's like a mandala. So when somebody enters the mandala or when someone leaves the mandala, mandala, should it actually be recognised in a particular form?
So do you think, I mean, I was wondering, do you think we are a particularly ritualised community? Because I've always had an impression that sometimes in Tridharana you pretty much can't go to the bathroom without having a ritual at Buddhist centres. And we are quite good at welcoming people and keeping them around, but are we particularly ritualised? Do you think we could be more ceremonious, more formal even about the way we do ritual? Or do you think the informality is kind of one of our strengths?
Gosh, I don't know.
I think there's quite a spectrum across Trivetna, to be honest. I mean...
Or Buddhafield, really, of course, that's right. Some of the Buddhafield rituals
then
are...
some of the rituals we do are, quote, traditional, and we like to think they've been handed down unchanged for a long, long time. And some of them are frankly made up on the spot. So there's quite a spectrum there too. And again, there's people that love the tradition of rituals, people that love the spontaneity of rituals. And you can't discuss ritual without addressing that as well.
I wondered about the extent to which you can actually discuss ritual, because I suppose traditionally in religious cultures, in the West, certainly, ritual develops over quite a long period of time. It needs a lot of rich fermenting. I mean, you get those wonderful kind of Mexican-Catholic collaborations where it's like Santa Muerta figure, you know, Saint Death. And it's interesting watching other faiths try and respond to that sort of change in their rituals and their figures, etc. You imagine that in a few hundred years' time, ritual is going to look completely different in the Buddhist community.
Well, Ratna Devi was explaining how traditionally rituals did change, but it's much easier to change them when you're not in a literate society where everyone's being writing things down and everything like that.
That's right.
So it's kind of more movement in the whole area of ritual. At the same time, I suppose you want the change to have meaning, not just because someone fancies, or they're just bored. You know, I'm just bored, we're doing this verse. Like, is that enough? Are rituals supposed to be honouring something a bit bigger than just an individual's preference that day?
Well, that's good. That's a good question, isn't it? I suppose that's why we're looking at collective rituals again. How does it how does it bind a community together? And it isn't really personal in that sort of sense.
No. And then what's the practice? What's the practice of engaging with ritual? Because we talk about the hindrances we need to work with in terms of meditation. So what are the hindrances towards puja or towards ritual? They might be a bit different. They might be the same.
Well, that's a question, though, isn't it? Is because you do sometimes hear people saying, oh, I'm a ritual kind of person, or I'm not a ritual kind of person. And I suppose it's a bit of a moot point, isn't it? Because although ritual, in its broader sense, is essential to human life, Is it an absolutely essential part of spiritual practice, would you say, of a kind of rigorous, disciplined spiritual life?
One thing that came up today when we were talking about it was the need for ritual to have a sort of element of mystery to it. And we have several rituals, the Sevenfold Puja is one, but the Threefold Puja is another, which is just written in English by Sangharakshita. It's very straightforward and much less controversial than the Sevenfold Puja, but doesn't quite have that element of mystery.
That's right.
So,
well, the Sevenfold Puja has got some really beautiful, quite old poetry in it, hasn't it, from the Bodhicharya Avatara. And the images say a lot, and it's not really rational. It doesn't work on you on that level.
Yeah, yeah.
So ritual needs to have that non-rational element of mystery or something beyond us.
It certainly can't just be an intellectual discourse, can it?
But when you're talking about it, when we were talking about it today, the first thing you get to is people's likes and dislikes. I like this, I don't like that. which you can't avoid, but they're not the level to discuss it on. You've got to find a way of discussing it in a much deeper than that.
Hmm.
Almost like, does it work or does it not work?
But then you need to know what the principles are that you're kind of measuring that against, don't you?
Yeah, I was going to say, because does it work or does it not work could also be an entirely subjective experience.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure we got to many conclusions today, but it wasn't really the point. The point was to open it up.
Absolutely
not. But it was good to go through the ritual, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Speaking of inconclusive rituals, we're still swinging away under the lovely
moon.
The lovely golden moon,
which
is peeping through the green of that.
Yeah.
Is that a fir tree? What kind of tree is that?
Yeah, or cedar.
Cedar, that's a cedar tree, there you go. So anyway, we're going to leave it there for this little discussion, this little ramble around ritual.
Mm-hmm.
But we will, following this, upload a little bit of experimental chanting from today's puja, led by the wonderful Ratna Devi. And you'll get a chance to hear a little bit of what it's like to try and invent some ritual on the spot. So thanks very much to Sad and Andy for coming out onto the swing this evening.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
As the dusk falls at Vajrasana and the temperature drops very quickly. And thanks, of course, to Loka Bandhu, who's his usual beautiful self.
Yeah.
And Loka Bandhu's got the standard sign-off for these things, which I think I will now let him do.
I've got no idea what that is.
He usually says, this is Loka Bandhu. Over and out.
Oh, okay.
Go on.
This is Loka Bandhu. Over and out. I've never said that before.
You say it every time.
Well, that ritual went out the window.